Our scripture reading today is 2 Timothy chapter 1. We're going to begin reading in verse 8, and we'll read down through verse 13. Let's open our Bibles and read together 2 Timothy chapter 1, beginning in verse 8 and reading down through verse 13. Paul said, "Remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sakes, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abides faithful. He cannot deny himself." In this passage, we find a familiar theme in this book of 2 Timothy, and that is suffering. Enduring trials and enduring hardships. Paul had been through plenty of persecutions, and his final persecution was near. These are Paul's last words. The book of 2 Timothy is a book where Paul is encouraging Timothy and us to be strong and not to give up. And Paul's message to Timothy and Paul's message to you and I is that if I can do it, so can you. Let's look at verses 8 and 9. Paul says that the gospel had brought him many hardships in life. He encourages Timothy to remember that Jesus Christ was of the seed, that is, of the lineage of David, that he was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Now, notice in verse 9 that he says, "wherein I suffer trouble." When he says "wherein," that means in which. In what? Well, that would be in the gospel. Because he taught and he lived the gospel. That's what he just talked about in verse 8. He says that Jesus was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein, that is, in the gospel, in regard to the gospel, I am being treated like an evildoer. I'm suffering trouble. So because Paul taught and lived the word of God, he was persecuted. This does bring opposition in our lives. In Matthew 13, verse 21, Jesus said that tribulation or persecution arises because of the word. There are different reasons why we have pain and heartache in life. There are different causes of affliction, even in a Christian's life. But this passage shows that one of the reasons why that Christians suffer in this life is because Christians believe and live and teach the word of God. In Matthew 5:11, Jesus said, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." Why did Jesus say that people would persecute you? Why did Jesus say that some people will tell lies about you and misrepresent you? He said, "It will be for my sake, because of me." When you're a Christian, you do have some hardships that other people don't have. And this is persecution for the Lord's cause. People are persecuted for all kinds of reasons. Sometimes people are persecuted because of their political views. But that's not what Jesus is talking about. That's not what Paul is talking about. Sometimes people are persecuted because of their race, because of certain ideas that they have, maybe because of their personality or even their appearance. But the Bible is not talking about those kinds of grounds for persecution. The Bible is talking about being persecuted for righteousness' sake, being persecuted because you are a Christian and because you follow Jesus' word. Some people are persecuted because of their religion, but their religion is false. They're Hindus that are persecuted. They're Muslims that are persecuted. They're unbelieving Jews that are persecuted. They're Mormons that are persecuted. But Paul is talking about being persecuted for the truth, for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul suffered, he says, in verse 9, like he was an evildoer. He was being treated like a common criminal. How? Well, he says, I'm being treated like an evildoer, even unto bonds. That is, to the point of bonds, and that means chains. Paul was bound in chains in prison for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. So remember that Paul is in prison as he writes this letter. And of course, this is not the first time that Paul was in prison in the New Testament. And we do need to make a distinction here. This imprisonment that we're reading about in the book of 2 Timothy is not the imprisonment at the close of the book of Acts that we read in Acts 28, verses 30 and 31, because there the Bible says that Paul had his own hired house and people came to him and he taught them. So at the close of the book of Acts, Paul was considered a prisoner of the Roman government, but that was more like what we would call house arrest. So when you look at the book of Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, and Philemon, Paul said that he was a prisoner at that time. And that means that he was in this situation that we would call more of a house arrest. And you'll also notice in the book of Philippians, where he says that he was a prisoner, and the book of Philemon, where he says that he was a prisoner, that he gives indications in those two books that he expected to be released. But in the book of 2 Timothy, he expects to die. So this is a later, and it is a different kind of imprisonment. Paul was shackled, but he says the word of God was not shackled. In verse 9, he said, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds or chains. But the word of God is not bound. The word of God is not chained. The word of God is not shackled. Again, Paul found things in his life to be thankful for, no matter what circumstance he was in. And this does remind us of what he said in the book of Philippians. Although this is a worse imprisonment in the book of 2 Timothy, you'll remember in the book of Philippians that Paul talked about the situation that he was in. He had been arrested, and he was not able to go on these preaching and missionary tours that he once did. But at the same time, we find in the book of Philippians that Paul says the things that happened to him really turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. There were people that heard the gospel because Paul was arrested that otherwise would not have heard the gospel, at least in that way. He talks about that in Philippians chapter 1. And then in Philippians chapter 4, you have this famous passage. In Philippians 4, verse 11, he says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So in the book of 2 Timothy, Paul still has this trust in God. He still has the attitude that although he is suffering, he is going to look for things that are positive. He is going to find things to be thankful for. And all of us can do that. All of us can learn from this lesson. No matter how much the church is persecuted, the truth is going to live on. Paul was in prison. He was awaiting execution. So what kind of teaching could Paul do in that situation? How much influence could Paul have as a prisoner of the Roman government? Well, we know that he talked with people that came to visit him. We know in his earlier imprisonment that he talked to, he taught, and he even converted other inmates. But all we have to do is to look at this letter that is before us, the book of 2 Timothy. Paul wrote that book when he was in prison. He wrote this great letter that millions of people have learned from and benefited from for almost 2,000 years. Paul did a great deal of good, even though he was in a bad situation. This gave Paul a great deal of confidence. The Bible says in verse 10 that Paul said, "Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake." One of the things about the Apostle Paul also that made him such a great man was that it was not all about him. He was an unselfish man. He was not a self-centered, self-glorifying person. He endured a lot of agony. Why? He said, "I do that for other Christians. I endure all things for the elect's sake." It's for them. It was not for his personal glory. It certainly was not for money or any kind of motivation like that. Paul was like our Lord. He did it for others, not for himself. Paul endured all this for other Christians, so that, he says, they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Notice the wording in verse 10. Paul says, "I endure all these things for the elect's sakes," that is, for Christians, "that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus." Why does he say so that they may obtain this salvation? Didn't they already have salvation? Weren't they already saved? Well, they had been saved from their sins. They were in a saved condition. But he's talking here about their final salvation, their final deliverance in heaven. He says also that this salvation is in Christ Jesus. Now, follow this very carefully. The Bible says in this passage that salvation is where? It is in Christ Jesus. So if a man is going to be saved, he has to be in Christ Jesus. Well, the question is, how do we get into Christ Jesus? The Bible answers that question in Galatians 3, verse 27. "For as many of you as have been baptized into Jesus Christ have put on Christ." How do we put on Christ? We have to be in Christ. How do we get into Christ? We are baptized into Jesus Christ. And this passage says that when we're baptized into Jesus Christ, we are then in Christ, and that is where salvation is. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 10. Then in these verses that follow, verses 11 through 13, Paul shows the great confidence that he had in the Lord. He says, "It is a faithful saying." That means that it is trustworthy. It is reliable. You can place your trust and your confidence in what Paul is about to say here. First of all, he said, "If we are dead with him, we shall also live with him." In a sense, Christians are dead. We're dead to the world. We've been crucified to the world. We are dead to sin in a spiritual sense. And if we are dead to sin, if we are dead to the world, we shall live spiritually with him. In verse 12, "If we suffer," that is, if we endure sufferings, "we shall also reign with him." Notice the word "if" here. He doesn't simply say we're going to reign with him regardless. He says, if we suffer, if we endure those persecutions and those tribulations, then we will reign with him. Now, on the other hand, he says, "If we deny him, he also will deny us." This passage shows that a Christian can't just do anything that he wants to. If a Christian turns his back on God, if he turns his back on Jesus Christ and denies Jesus Christ, the Bible says that Jesus will deny him. And in verse 13, even if we don't believe, God is still going to do what he said. He is still faithful because God cannot lie. Titus 1, verse 2.